Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's dad up. Oh, happy Thursday, everyone. Happy Thursday. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will
rejoice
and be glad, and
be
in,
glad
it.
In it.
It's a new day. It's a brand new day. And for each of us alive, deposited in our time bank is 1,440 minutes. Everybody gets that.
Every day.
Every day. And so we are delighted to be with you this morning on the Dad Up Radio Show. Today we have our usual co-host, Charles. Welcome in the house again, man.
Oh, it's a great day, man. It's always a great day to have a great day, and this is the best day ever.
It is the best day ever. We have a very special guest on the show today, and in a few moments we will be getting him on to talk about something that I have a feeling will be of interest to every man, every dad, but I also believe it will be of interest to every mom out there. All so right. Hold your horses. Well, all right.
Yeah.
Hold your horses. That's not one of the jokes we're going to talk about today. So here we are almost at the end of a month, and we're almost 2 months in, Charles, since we started this radio show focusing on dads and father figures. We started on August 1st, 2025, and we're still in a row.
Yes, and I hope that we're increasing.
I hope so.
I hope that word-of-mouth advertising is being done by everyone that's listening and telling everybody to get on the bandwagon with us.
Yes, Dad Up 1000. We're trying to recruit 1,000 fathers and father figures to be part of this movement here. Now, normally on Thursdays, we look at the emotional well-being and the emotional wellness of dads.
Right.
We have an acronym that we follow each day. It's called SPIES. We empower our fathers and father figures to be better spies. So on Mondays, we either have a host or someone, our guest, who will focus on the spiritual. On Tuesdays, we look at the physical well-being. On Wednesdays, the intellectual / mental health. On Thursdays, today, the emotional. And then tomorrow, Friday, the social. So SPIES. And I want us to talk about a subject, Charles, that I believe is emotional to most guys. In fact, I would say not just guys, but it's their cars.
Okay.
Yeah, their cars. They feel strongly. I've been going to church. I've gone to church and I've seen guys washing, dusting, buffing their car, and when I'm heading back home, they're still doing it. And I'm thinking, did they take a break? But anyhow, cars matter to most guys, and most of the dads that I work with. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, apart from your home, one of the biggest sort of outgoing funds,
yes,
if it's not a boat, but let's leave that for a moment. Probably Jonathan will talk to that later. But apart from a boat, it's your car.
Vehicle, yes.
Your car.
Yes. I have a truck. I have an F-150. I love my truck. I don't know if I would spend several hours doing that, but I do try to take care of it, so it'll take care of me.
All right. So I have a friend and an expert on the line. His name is Raheem. Raheem, can you hear us, sir?
Oh, loud and clear. Good morning,
brother. Welcome to this show. I must say, I thought of you when I thought of cars. And let me just say a little bit before I ask you to say something about yourself. This brother here, Raheem, I have known for umpteen years. And I got to know him because I worked with his two wonderful daughters. And being a girl dad myself, to see a dad pulling up each evening or most evenings to pick up his daughters. That caught my attention.
Oh yeah.
But he's in the car business, and I don't mean selling cars. You fix them, probably you break them down and then build them back. But that's your field, and you have been in this field for how long, Raheem?
More than 30 years now.
What got you? I mean, what got you interested in cars? Was it something when you were growing up? What was it that got you into vehicles, all things mechanical?
Well, with most men, you know, anything when it comes to cars, it usually starts off as a hobby. So it was a love for just, you know, just trying new things. So when I got into fixing cars, it was more of, you know, what else can I, you know, task myself with doing and challenge myself with doing. So it just became, instead of it being
just a hobby.
Nope. Did we lose him?
All right. I think we lost our guest. We're going to try calling him back. But yeah, Charles, I know, I mean, you and I are good friends, but mm-hmm. you wouldn't just lend me a truck. You'd rather go drive it.
Yeah. no, I don't. I barely would let my son drive my truck.
Good morning. Right. I think we just lost connection.
Yeah, yes, there we go.
Yes. So we're talking about you starting out as a hobby, but it ends up being a career, one that you love, and I know it gives you a little bit of a headache sometimes, but you love what you do.
You know, with any career, you know, if it's not something that you love, then it's instead of it being a career, it's a job.
So
I love what I do. I love the educational part of my job. That's the reason why I get up and I do it, you know, because information is key. Most people really don't understand, you know, the fundamentals of a car and why they need to do certain things. So that's what makes my job so much more fun. That's what makes it interesting. I mean, and I love doing what I do.
So who or what interested you in the first place? How was it just that your dad or father figure sort of brought you toys, cars? How did you begin to have an interest in cars?
So my dad was a military man. He was a jack of all trades. So he would do, you know, little oil changes on the weekend when he was home or whenever he wasn't deployed. So that was where they really sparked the interest. But I have to pay homage to a gentleman by the name of Bob Simmons, who inspired me. I mean, this man came into work every day. He was a manager, but yet he was in a shop and he never left the shop. He never left his guy's side. And he made it so that anyone and everyone that needed assistance, he was always within arm reach of helping them. So, I mean, I think that's where I get my my love for what I do and my dedication from, honestly.
And I must say, because I've known you for years, you don't just love cars, you love the people who drive them. And so your patience and your willingness to go the extra mile, I find to be fascinating. So here are a couple of technical questions for you, man. I have known people, particularly women, who don't trust mechanics because they feel, one, when they walk in, they are treated as novices and are being told to change things that don't need to be changed. I'm not speaking, and I'm not even going to mention the company you work with because I want you to answer as honestly as you possibly can, and it doesn't have to reflect on where you're. Is that something that happens sometimes? Not with you, but is that a known thing?
So I'm going to probably disagree with that because, I mean, if you really look at it, the majority of consumers, and I say consumers, I'm meaning shop consumers, meaning people who come in to the service center, the majority is women. Women are the ones that come in because they are the drivers. They're the ones who are taking the kids to school. They're the ones who are going back and forth to sports with the children. They're the ones who's going to the doctor with the children. They're the ones going shopping. So they are putting the miles on the vehicles. It's not really the men. Men really don't come into service centers. So I'm going to disagree and say, you know, people really don't see women as, you know, as a target, you know, to rip off, you know. So, you know, they have to see every customer as a potential, you know, upsell, but I don't think that it's a women versus men, you know, or children of that nature.
All right.
That's awesome, man. I mean, there's a perception out there, and I'm sure you know that is what it does. But I believe, in listening to you, that people have a perception of what a repair should cost, and it's usually much lower than what the reality is. And that's why they think they are getting ripped off.
And I totally agree. So you got to think that, you know, you could look online for a part or go online and search the web or search Google, which a lot of people do these days, and you could do it yourself, which is a very common thing. But you got to remember, when you go into a shop, you're not paying just for the part. You're paying for someone's 20, 30 years of experience on how to put that part in without having any hiccups. You're paying for that expensive tool that mechanic had to pay for. You're paying for that education that the mechanic had to pay for. You're paying for the overhead, the lights, you know, the people that's there. So there's a lot of other things that's involved, but just, you know, in that price, other than just the price tag.
Which leads me to that question about DIY, do it yourself at home. Now, of course, there is something to be said. We had one of our co-hosts was in here the other day with his dad, whom he had just met after nearly 40 years. And recently his dad taught him, he's an adult, he's a dad himself, but he taught him how to change an oil in his car, which to him was like Christmas, like a long-awaited Christmas. He's probably listening now. But let's go back to the practicality of changing your own oil at home. Is there some legal issue about what you do with the oil? So I might go and find a way of getting the oil out. I can't just put it in the garbage bin for the truck to pick up, right?
That is correct. You can't. So there's most of the repair shops will allow you to dispose up to 5 gallons of oil, you know, and some will charge you a disposal fee for it, you know, and most will just take it. But I mean, you will definitely, you know, it's definitely illegal to just dump oil in a garbage can or, you know, down a sewer drain or something like that.
All right. So teaching your child a skill is one thing. Teaching them to be responsible for the environment is another thing. Because if I'm teaching my daughter, how to change in her oil, that's a good thing. But I need to go a little bit further, that there is some legal and, should I say, environmental responsibility here, that I don't just say, this is what you do, but this is what you do with what you take out.
That's correct.
All right.
I have a question, and this is something that I've heard from a lot of guys that I've talked to. In your opinion, when you have a vehicle that you've bought from a dealership, is it best to go back to the dealership for a repair or go to an independent mechanic?
So
that's a really
interesting question, because I work for retail shops and dealerships throughout my life. So when it comes to retail, it's, you know, you could always go to a retail shop, you know, and it's, you know, retail shops is always going to be a whole lot cheaper, less expensive than going to the dealership.
I hear a butt coming.
But when it comes to the dealership, you got to remember that those guys are certified to work on that particular model, that particular car. So there's going to be a level of knowledge, you know, a difference, you know, between the knowledge of what a repair facility is going to have. compared to the dealership.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. I have a, like I said, I have the F-150, and I go back to the dealership for anything that has to be done. So that was just a question I wanted to put out there.
You mentioned the word, or was it your child's? The difference between new, well, I think I know what that is, certified, pre-owned, and is there another category? Tell me them, please. New, I understand. Like, new because nobody else has driven it. If it's on the show floor for some time, apparently it is still new. But certified / pre-owned, what's the difference?
So new is definitely just means that no one ever driven a car. There's no owners. Certified pre-owned is the vehicle has been inspected and is certified to be, you know, in great working conditions or you know, normal working conditions. Used means that it's as is. So it could be a number of different things going on with it. I mean, so that it's a big difference between which one you're going to buy.
And you have two daughters. I know them. You have two daughters. As a dad, but also as a sort of master mechanic, what have you taught them? Oil change, tire change? What is it that you believe every young person, every daughter, every son should know, mechanic or non-mechanic dad? What would you recommend?
So my daughters, so I have one now that's going, she's 18 in college. she could do everything. Change oil, change the brakes, change the tires.
Did you say brakes?
You know,
awesome.
She could do it all. I mean, and that's only because from a very small, you know, age, you know, they have been in the automotive, you know, industry. You know, I've always had them at the job. They always been with me. So it's kind of like that dad who have they children at the hip, you know, or the mom who's always carrying the baby, you know, close to, you know, on the back or right on the chest. My girls have always been right along with me, you know, so if they have picked up every single thing they could pick up, you know, when it comes to automotive, you know, they're like little sponges.
All right.
That is amazing. You and I have spoken, and you told me whenever I'm ready, let you know, because I've asked you and you said yes to be like a dad tour. Help us with that operation, Daducation. There are some things that I believe, I just think everybody should know.
Well, I'm sure they should know the basics as far as.
But that's more than basic.
Well, no, maybe oil change. I've had friends who were mechanics, and one of the things they say, one of the best things you can do for your vehicle is have a regularly scheduled oil change and tire rotation, because the oil is the lifeblood of the engine. So I've always believed that because I've had mechanics tell me that.
I'm going to not put you on the spot, but your age I won't say, but I drive around and I see some of those cars that were probably around before I was born. They're called antique, and they're running, and they look solid. They look like they could move a tree and still keep running. The cars that we have nowadays, pretty, yeah, filled with gadget, yeah, but what would you say? And some people think it's a conspiracy, Raheem, that manufacturers no longer build a car to last because then they wouldn't sell cars. But what do you see as the difference between the modern, sophisticated, old bells and whistles and those cars that they still smell when you pass them the smoke, but they run? I mean, technology is better, but the longevity of cars seem to not be so. Do you differ with that so-called perception again?
So I will agree with you, Mr. Gordon. Cars today are definitely not built for the duration, you know, that we had some years ago, but they are built for more comfort, more technical, you know, than that reliability. So I will say that, you know, I totally agree that, you know, the cars today are more, you know, are more computerized. Everything, there is, you know, pretty much just how it could be more convenient rather than reliable.
I have a feeling they will be flying very soon. I mean, if they can drive without me touching it, you'll probably have to fly in cars. And don't tell me there's one out there, Raheem. Just don't say that. But that is interesting. Yeah, it's true. The technology. Let's go to oil. You have the synthetic. You have the semi-synthetic. You have regular. And I know when I come to you, apparently the recommendation from the manufacturer is to put full synthetic. But tell us, and generally are more expensive, but if you're doing it at home and disposing of it properly, what do you recommend? Follow the manufacturer or go synthetic?
Well, I always say follow the manufacturer's specifications. Typically when you use full synthetic, is, you know, full synthetic is an oil that has, you know, bigger molecules. It bonds with your mechanical parts, you know, and it's less friction, less metal grinding on top of each other. So your engine is going to last longer. The mechanics is going to last longer. So I would definitely recommend, you know, using full synthetic, you know, with your vehicle, especially if your car recommends it.
All right. We have more questions for you. So don't go anywhere, Raheem. By the way, today's your day off, man. And normally he wouldn't get up this early.
we appreciate that.
Yeah. So we need to talk about how we get you on. We might have to just pre-record you because this is live. So you haven't listened to us yet, man. And then I'm a little bit upset with you because you and I are friends. And we have had this show going on for nearly 2 months. But here you are making your debut and doing it live. We have something that we do daily. It's called DGJ, similar to like AGT, America's Got Talent. We have something called Dad's Got Jokes. Now, I'm not going to ask you to give me one, unless you have one right up your sleeve. You should have a lot in the mechanic shop there, but this is a free card for you, Raheem. You won't have to give one. So Charles and I normally have a sort of competition, and our listeners would text in and say mine is better occasionally.
Occasionally they would say yours are better, but you know, for the most part.
All right. Well, Raheem is going to be the judge of that, so you okay. Go ahead, sir.
All right. What do you call a sleepwalking nun?
What do you call a sleepwalking nun?
Yes. A Roman Catholic.
Like a Roman. I hope our Catholic friends out there forgive you.
It's just a joke.
All right, it's just a joke.
I should have gave that disclaimer before.
All right, then. Okay. So I have one, too. I only know 25 letters of the alphabet. I only know 25 letters of the alphabet.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know why.
Okay.
It's love, man. Come on. Raheem, what do you think? Or do you want to remain neutral right now?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that, Mr. Gordon.
Okay. You probably didn't hear the jokes then. So that's very telling. Listen, for those of you who are listening to us for the first time, we are the Dad Up Radio Show. We are on this wonderful station every single day, well, at least Monday to Friday, 8:30 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. And we ask for your prayers. We ask that you pray for us, because what we're trying to do is to empower fathers and father figures to establish, reestablish, or maintain the connection between themselves and their children, as well as to prepare today's sons to be tomorrow's responsible fathers and father figures. And we're asking for your prayers in doing this colossal but all-important job. We're also asking for your hours to volunteer, like Raheem has volunteered his time this morning to share some information with us, and we'll also be working with some of the young men and women who do not have a father figure. So we're asking for at least 60 minutes, 1 hour, a week. We have 1,400 minutes per day. 1,440 minutes. We're only asking for 60 for the week. and that we will use to have you read to and or with a child in the Operation Daducation program. And then we're also asking for your dollars. We do appreciate your contribution. Go to our website. You can call us at 561-229-2379. That's 561-229-2379. Or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. I want to say thanks to a sponsor who contributed to this morning's program, but wishes to remain anonymous. We would welcome your contribution. Raheem, I want to close by thanking you for your time, and I hope you go back to bed and sleep. But thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Let me ask you, tires, one of the things that go, they just go. Expensive tires or high-performance tires, which would you recommend? I mean, I know, yeah, good tires that have tread in them, but we live in Florida. We drive mostly in Florida. I know we have some listeners in Texas and other places, but what do you recommend, even if the client comes in and, well, particularly if the client comes in and doesn't know which one to buy? I know you can pay hundreds for four new tires because of what it has or what it promises in terms of distance and all that. But what do you recommend?
So I recommend, you know, any tire based off of your, you know, your financial situation is going to be a suitable tire. But if you want to go by what the manufacturer, you know, recommends on your vehicle, then it's always recommended that you go with whatever came on the vehicle. It could be a high performance premium, you know, premium tire, depending on whether or not the car is a sports car, you know, or, you know, depending on the horsepower. It could be a nice, comfortable, you know, eco-friendly tire if the car is a nice, comfortable, you know, sedan, you know. So it's really going to make a big difference on what kind of car you have, because some cars require certain, you know, certain dynamics of, you know, of a tire. You have to have, you know, a summer tire for a sports car. You have to have a you know, low roller resistant tire for, you know, eco-friendly car, like something that's a hybrid. Mm-hmm. So that makes a big difference.
Mm. All right.
Wow.
So if the size is right and the type is right, you don't necessarily see a difference whether we go for the fancy type or the one that satisfies the bare necessities. Are you saying really and truly just follow the manufacturers?
So I'm a firm believer of following manufacturers, you know, recommendations. But yes, you could definitely go if the size of the tire is going to be correct, the speed rating, because you got a lot of different things that you have to take into account. The speed rating, the load index, you know, those things have to be within that spec in order for you to have a tire that's gonna meet all of the needs of that car.
All right, man. Listen, thank you so very much. And again, we say
thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions.
That's okay.
Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us.
I appreciate you, fellas.
561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.